Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, glad you're with us on a Tuesday morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I am Mark. That is Kim. Ethan Bryden here with us this morning, and we'll get Sue Thomas along in just a couple of minutes with your weather forecast. So, raining out there is what, for your traffic, I should say, and because of the weather, she could have her hands full this morning. Rained on me on the way in. My guess is it's going to continue to rain a little bit throughout our commute this morning. It's not heavy. It's just wet, and inevitably that's going to lead to a few traffic problems, I think. Do you have any problems this morning?
No, when I was getting ready for work, when I was waking up, I heard it really coming down, but then by the time I got in the car, it was basically nothing. It was a drizzle. So it's just going to be an odd day, especially coming out of a sunny and 88-degree day we had yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. It was nice for most of the day yesterday. I got my camper back from getting some repairs done to it, and the place where I store it, I have to back it across a field to get to this concrete pad where I store my camper. I've got a friend who's kind enough to let me store it there, but they don't like me to do that when the ground is soft because it puts ruts in the ground, right? Yep. So I had to do that late yesterday because I knew all this rain was coming. And for like the next two or three days, we're going to have enough rain that the camper wouldn't be able to go back there for like another week if I didn't get it in there last night. So I had to spend an extra hour last night trying to get that thing parked and put away before all this rain moves in.
Not looking forward to the rain, but yeah, this has been a very rainy April. I don't know what the typical amount of rainfall is for the month. Obviously, I know spring showers or April showers bring May flowers. I get it. But this just seems like an excessive amount of rain that we've had over the last month.
Yeah, I think April might be the highest average rain we get for the month. I think so.
I mean, I would expect we'd have the most rain of all the months probably in April, but it just seems like this year in particular we've had an excessive amount.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not a good road trip for the Cardinals so far. It didn't sound like I listened to a little bit of the end of John Rooney's post-game show. I didn't get to hear the actual game yesterday, but that's unfortunate. At least we got some hockey to look forward to.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a whooping. It was 3-1.
No,
but still,
their road record sucks so far.
We need the Blues. Michael and I were talking about that last night. I'm like, thank goodness we have the Blues to look forward to because, I mean, yeah, it's early on-ish in the season for the Cardinals. Like, things can turn around. They've had some great wins. But people are just not as jazzed about the Cardinals, unfortunately. And so it's been so fun to see the Blues have all this success.
Have a little bit of playoff fun, for sure. Looking forward to that. All right. Coming up, we got a good show for you today. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. A new task force set up by a bunch of local police departments to kind of coordinate their reaction to on interdictions and crime locally. And we're going to talk to the chief from out in Lake St. Louis this morning, coming up in the next hour, about how all that's going to work. It includes the city of St. Louis. Now, famously, when they all tried to go in together on a new law enforcement training facility, the city wasn't interested. I don't know if that changes under state control or not, but we will talk to the chief out in Lake St. Louis about this new effort to combine their efforts regionally, for sure. Got John Lamping at 6:37 with a few updates on the clock ticking down in Jeff City, obviously, and changes to Amendment 3 and the proposition on taxes and overtime and time off and all that that they're trying to make in Jeff City. Plus, we're going to talk to Congressman Jason Smith just a little bit later today. He is, of course, the congressman from the 8th Congressional District. He's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. He's going to call us in the 7 o'clock hour, about 7:45 this morning, to give us an update on this reconciliation bill and maybe reflect a little bit on the president's 100th day in office, which is today. And I know this morning they're going to have another news conference at the White House. Annie Frye's still up there. I don't know when we're going to get to her on the show this morning, but she was in the briefing room yesterday. They're going to hold another press briefing this morning about 7:30 our time. And I think Scott Bessent is going to be in there this morning talking about the economy and the markets and how tariffs are affecting all of that. Everybody's still completely freaking out over these tariffs. Every economist thinks they're bad, which means you shouldn't worry about them too much, because economists are pointy-headed liberals for the most part, who sit around and fret over things that don't normally end up being true. So we will take a look at that when it happens this morning. We'll jump in and take some of it live so you can hear that. What's your take on the president's first 100 days? What, Kim, if you had to give him a grade right now, realistically, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. It would probably be... I would probably say B plus or A minus. I mean, I think he's done really, really well. I mean, every president's going to make some mistakes. I mean, with these tariffs, the only reason I may have bumped him down is because of the constant back and forth. Now, that might actually be some of his strategy, kind of a power move of like, look what I can do. I can put it in and take it away. And it, you know, so that could be part of Trump's strategy. It is funny when you hear everyone freaking out about this and they're saying the markets are down and his polling numbers are down. I don't think Trump cares. Trump is so confident this is going to be what's truly best for the country moving forward that he's not running again. He's just not. So,
yeah,
whatever. I think that's his stance. Whatever. I'm going to do what I think is best for the country. Would you give
if you subtract the media noise, the mainstream media noise, because their job is to tear him down, even though they defended Biden, their job is to tear him down. And you consider the fact that 100 days is just barely an inch over 3 months. He's been at this for 3 months. What he's done is historic.
Mm-hmm.
The EOs alone, the reconciliation bill that's about to happen, the tariffs, the success on the border by itself gives him an A. You can't. It's hard to overstate how successful this president has done once again in the face of negative media. Media Research Council had a report on this week on the negative reports on the president, and it's just completely par for the course for the mainstream media in this country. But it take away the ridiculous statements by Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer, who said he's destroying America. These are their talking points. And it's nonsense. It's just utter nonsense. Donald Trump's done more for this country in 90 days than any president I can think of since Ronald Reagan. And maybe more than Reagan. I mean, he's been more active on the EOs and just trying to return a little bit of common sense and cut government. I mean, when you add it all up, it there's no doubt it's an A. There's no critical way to look at it to make it less than that when you remove the noise. The noise is the media and the left that will never like Donald Trump. But you can't deny his effectiveness. I don't know how anybody could look at it and not have him in the A category so far.
So and I had said A minus, probably, maybe there might be areas I might say B plus, but I think he's been an effective president. I would say the border is, in fact, I took a poll the other day on Fox News and I took a picture of it because I was in the vast majority of people who felt like his moves on the border have been the biggest change he's made.
It's amazing.
What would you give him an A plus?
Oh, yeah. That's the easiest one. That really is the easiest one. When you compare it even to a year ago, what's going on at the border?
Well, if you're comparing it to a year ago, then he would get A plus 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 plus. I mean, the infinity pluses.
I just mean the change in 3 months is incredible. The change from a year ago at this point and what's going on the border, it's like two different countries. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden had no border policy. And this is just, yeah. We'll talk about it this morning and let you hear what others think about that as well. Right now, let's get to our top stories real quick, Ethan. Thank you.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
In Britain, we have had over a quarter of a million people issued non-crime hate incidents. Would the Trump administration consider political asylum for British citizens in such a situation?
I have not heard that proposed to the president, but I certainly can and see if it's something the administration would entertain.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
How about that? You've got such a crackdown on freedom of speech, freedom of thought from one of our biggest allies in the world, Britain, the United Kingdom. They got people in jail for tweets. Now somebody wants to know, would we consider asylum for British citizens? Absolutely.
This is an attempt by some to virtue signal
And it's this horrible sort of pitting different news organizations against each other, when ultimately the people at fault are every elected member of Congress.
Poor little Chuck Todd. He's doing his best to defend the media for their lack of coverage on Joe Biden's cognitive decline, like falling off the side of the Matterhorn. That's what happened with Joe Biden. The media ignored it, and now Chuck Todd wants you to believe it's not the media's fault. It's the Democrats' fault.
This is Congressman Sri Thanedar. Donald Trump has already done real damage to our democracy. But defying a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, that has to be the final straw. It's time we impeach Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, we are not going to impeach Donald J. Trump. That is a congressman named Sri Thanedar. I had to make sure I spelled it correctly here and pronounced it properly. He's filed impeachment against Donald Trump, which will go absolutely nowhere.
Right from the beginning in the first quarter of the big game, which I was there, I watched in person. I was there along with Taylor Swift. How did that work out? How did that one work out?
Couldn't help himself. The president there yesterday welcoming these Super Bowl champion Eagles to the White House. I think Annie Frye got to attend that ceremony. It was like outside on the lawn at the White House. All right, we're going to get to a break here because, once again, I've run long with the opening monologue. How about that? Ethan, who's got our national anthem this morning?
It is Dwayne Allen of the Oak Ridge Boys' birthday, so we're going to go with them.
Whiskey River, don't run dry. Take care of me. Whiskey River, take my mind.
Bill resigned Tuesday. It was hard on him and hard on us. But he did it for us and you. Stories we pursued for 57 years are often controversial. Lately, the Israel-Gaza war and the Trump administration. Bill made sure they were accurate and fair. He was tough that way. But our parent company, Paramount, is trying to complete a merger. The Trump administration must approve it. Paramount began to supervise our content in new ways. None of our stories has been blocked, but Bill felt he lost the independence that honest journalism requires. No one here is happy about it, but in resigning, Bill proved one thing. He was the right person to lead 60 Minutes all along.
He's Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes. He's talking about Bill Owens there, in case you're wondering. Bill is, of course, the executive producer of 60 Minutes, has been for a long time. You know, he's an upstanding guy. He felt like he lost some of his independence to make decisions. Decisions to edit the Kamala Harris story so that it benefited Kamala and made her look smarter than a shoe. This is the kind of input Bill Owens had at 60 Minutes. And when somebody came in and said, you know, that was really a bad decision, the people at 60 Minutes didn't appreciate that very much. They don't like being told they can't edit stories to reflect their point of view or their desire. There's no way to look at what happened in that Kamala Harris interview and not see it for what it is. She's unable to answer direct questions. So they edited the reporter question with an answer she gave later in the interview that seemed more cohesive. Is that a good word for it? I mean, she occasionally will put out a thought that's cohesive, but not very often. So they had to edit that story down. And if it had not been for a slip up in the teasing process, the average American might not even have been aware of it, but now that we've seen the transcript, we know exactly what it was. She couldn't answer basic questions about what she'd do on the economy.
Which is so funny because Scott Pelley's over there saying, oh, you know, he was the one who was making sure that we were being fair in our storytelling and not being biased. And I mean, it's like if you took a poll of people, I mean, come on.
No, nobody, that horse left the barn a long time ago. At 60 Minutes, and is Paramount interfering with what they do? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that The story is that Bill Owens didn't resign in protest. Bill Owens was fired, is what the story is about this. He was let go because of the fact that he's influencing stories, and they're upset because he's no longer around to influence stories, or with a wink and a nod say, yeah, that's fine. I'm glad you edited out her screw up there. I mean, think what would have happened if 60 Minutes had been in charge of the presidential debate. They would have tried to edit it to make it look like Joe Biden was actually answering the questions, and they'd find a snippet where he seemed cognitively intact, and they'd edit that together to make him look better. That's called deception, is what it's called. Now, Kim and I, both been in TV journalism, know that there are times when you need to edit a story, right, for brevity or whatever the case may be. They've got 60 minutes. She and I had 90 seconds to do a story.
If that.
They get 60 minutes to tell a story. You don't need to deceptively edit, or, I mean, their pieces run, what, 8, 10 minutes long?
At least 5 to 10 minutes long.
I know.
Long.
They're long form. It's long form journalism. And
we call it long form.
Well, it was long form compared to local TV stories. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I've been criticized. I remember, in fact, there was a woman in Creve Coeur or something who had monkeys in her home, and it was very controversial. And I did this story on it, and this lady was fuming. Her attorney was, they were so mad at me. You edited that to make it look bad. I mean, you've probably been accused of that at some point in your career.
Well, when you've only got 90 seconds or less, it's a lot. You have to edit some, but you don't edit for your point of view is the point here. We're going to be back with Kim on a Whim in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
The city of Seattle is having a very odd and, let's call it, disturbing problem. That is that a group of Seattle homeowners, they're now suing the city, talking about how the elected leaders know about a problem they're having and they're not doing enough about it. And that problem is that pretty much every single day, these homeowners say they look out their window and they see naked men masturbating in the park. Like, it's a daily issue. There are videos. Now, obviously, they're blurred out. But it's a thing. It gets every day. They're saying they go out, that no one even wants to go to the park because it's become such a rampant issue. Can you imagine? So, I mean, we see weird things in the parks here in the city. Mark, you went out the other day at the, I don't know if you want to call it a park, that's adjacent to our building here in downtown St. Louis of Olive, but you did see a naked man sitting right there on the corner.
Yes, this is true. So that was last summer, but yeah, you're right. So here's a controversial idea. Could they put gates up and say closed for restoration?
Mark, you got it right. You said restoration. I'm so proud of you.
I mean, it worked in the city.
It really was effective.
Chase away the homeless.
Because what happened was they just moved a block over. And then when they closed that one for restoration, so, even though they did nothing, they just kept moving a block over.
This is in Seattle. It gets pretty cold in Seattle, which makes that even more impressive.
Well, whatever you want to call it, Mark, it's a clear problem. Now, here's the funny part. This should not surprise you at all, especially given that it's in Seattle. Instead of actually taking action to end the activity, what they're wanting to do is spend taxpayer money on what they're calling, this is in actual documents, they're calling it a public masturbation deterrent infrastructure that they want to set up at the park. Now, what's your first question when I tell you about a public masturbation deterrent infrastructure?
Let me guess. They're going to build shelters so they can go inside and do it without being seen?
Probably. One of the reporters here for this TV station out of Seattle asked one of the city council members, and this was her response.
I don't know the specific definition of that. But again, it's a combination of things besides police, park rangers, public intervention of that, signage, also a code of conduct. There's a bunch of things that we need to address.
The code of conduct and the signage, that's going to ultimately do it. You know what? I bet these creeps are going to see that code of conduct and be like, you know what? this is an honorable. I should stop doing this. I can't believe I once did this. I'm a changed man. I'm going to go elsewhere. I mean, come on.
So in those gun-free zones where you have a picture of a gun with a slash through it, could you put a picture of a... with a slash through it?
You know what?
Up on
that,
the tree?
That would be very effective.
Would that stop it?
What a joke. I mean, are you seriously going to waste taxpayer dollars on a sign that has the code of conduct?
Well, how about you get people, how about you arrest people for public indecency? There's got to be some sort. Have they erased all ordinances in the city of Seattle, this liberal bastion on the West Coast, that would prevent them from arresting these people for disturbing the peace?
Well, how have they not been arrested? They're just asking the city to enforce the laws. That's what these homeowners are saying. They feel like it's gotten absolutely ridiculous, where one woman was even interviewed. She's like, I don't even feel safe walking out of my home. I have children. I don't want my children coming out of their front door and looking across the street at the park and some guys out there naked. They were saying, not to be too graphic here, one of the people who was interviewed, they were saying that the guys will sit on the hood of their car and do this. It's everywhere.
On the hood of whose car?
Their own car. Let me clarify this. I don't know if it's their own car. I would think it's their own car. I don't think these guys are homeless. I'm sure some of them are. This has become a known area, I guess, in the city to do this. I've never been to Seattle, but Denny Blaine Park is, I guess, this like known regional venue where people go to do this. This is the problem when you have poor leadership and you don't actually address the issue. You're just putting a Band-Aid on it. And I'm not saying we have an issue quite like this here in the city of St. Louis, but remember when they wanted to allow people, the homeless, to pee and poop because they felt like that was the just thing to do here? I mean, that's the kind of nonsense that you hear. And they're not actually fixing the issue. They're not enforcing the laws. They're not locking people up and keeping them there. They're giving them a slap on the wrist. People know it. There's zero deterrent for any of these weirdos who are doing this stuff here in the city of St. Louis, too. And so what do you expect? I mean, people aren't stupid. If they know they can get away with it, what stops them? It's not going to be some stupid sign or code of conduct that they read as they're walking to the park to do this.
So I'm still trying to understand. Are these people unhoused? Is that the term they're using for them?
Are they homeless people
that live there? Or do they go there for the specific purpose of doing this around each other at this particular park?
I'm sure it's both. The people who were interviewed made it seem like this is a known spot to do this.
Huh.
That they are getting out of their car and doing this. So it sounds like some absolutely are driving there for the very purpose of this, and other people probably are homeless and, you know, stay there or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just
politically incorrect to arrest them for it in Seattle, Washington.
They've completely thrown
common sense out the window. So you could take your child out of your apartment to walk them down the street, and there could be an adult male across the street masturbating. That's what you're telling me in Seattle.
Yeah. It says in recent years, Denny Blaine Park has gained a reputation for being an unofficial nude beach. In 2023, after a private effort to build a playground at the site became public, members of the LGBTQ community pushed back on it, calling it an attempt to purposely displace the queer community that found the park and beach to be a safe haven. The city eventually dropped that playground proposal. Well, yeah, I don't think you should probably put a playground at a place that's become an unofficial nude beach.
Somebody needs to go over there with one of those 40,000 watt tasers, and I'll bet you could put an end to that in one day.
Well, that
but
might
if I
do
catch
the trick.
You probably get charged with assault. Don't you think?
Oh, 100%. They'd probably do nothing about the person who was doing that act,
or
and you would be punished.
Or, this may be controversial, they should set up some speakers and play some music for them, don't you think?
Oh gosh.
Go ahead, Ethan. I think this is where we need to go.
Okay, Mark.
Oh, come on. That'd be perfect, wouldn't it? That'd just blend in with the theme of Seattle these days.
Just, where is our society gone? Like, why are we here and why are we not doing anything about it?
I don't know. I just I've given up on the left coast in this country. I mean, from L.A., from San Francisco, where you can't walk down the street without stepping in human feces, to parks in Seattle, Washington, where they, with a wink and a nod, tell you it's okay to show up at a public park.
Nude.
And play with yourself.
Yes. The report of this woman said she told the officer she'd seen six different men in a week doing this at Denny Blaine Park.
Wow. I bet Denny's even embarrassed. Who's Denny?
Yeah, Denny Blaine's like, can I please get a name change on the park? I don't want this affiliated with my
Denny,
name.
Denny Whoever Blaine's you are, relatives.
Yeah.
I don't know who the hell Denny Blaine is, but he now has a stain on his reputation, so to speak.
It just like hurts my heart to see that.
Sorry.
I'm just going to skate right past that, Mark.
A lot of people would like to skate past Denny Blaine Park right now.
I'm sure. It's just so, society is just, I have no words.
I mean, I have heard the occasional story about that happening to people. I know a coworker of mine at Channel 4 told me the story one time. She was walking in Forest Park, and she came around a corner, and there was a guy in a raincoat, and he opened his raincoat and was doing that in front of her. Now, that guy, I don't know if she called it in and got him arrested or not. You've got isolated incidents, but if you know it's happening every day, it's such an easy law enforcement fix. Lock them up and put them in a jail cell somewhere and then get them mental health help because you're sick.
No, well, these people clearly need mental health help, yes.
Okay.
I'm just tired of these cities poor leadership not knowing what to do and how to handle these issues because this is completely unacceptable, so inappropriate, and for so many reasons. I won't go into it, but my gosh, like, do something about it. Don't put up a stupid sign and a code of conduct saying that this isn't acceptable, and also please wear a shirt and shoes. It's like sign you see at the front of a business. Now, the difference is that business owner will actually enforce it and not allow you to shop inside their store if you walk in naked or you walk in without proper shoes on or something like that, but clearly that's not happening at the park in Seattle. So good luck to those homeowners who live nearby. I feel for you having to deal with this.
Unbelievable.
Would you want to be the cop that has to arrest that guy?
No, I don't. No, thank you. All right, let's get to a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, I had to find out, Kim. You spurred me to take matters into my own hands, so to speak. I had to find out who Denny Blaine was.
And?
Because here's the thing. These people would be even more horrified. It's not one person. It's two. It's a E.F. Blaine and C.L. Denny who this park was named after back in 1901. So you know they'd be even more horrified that this open space that they dedicated to the city. See, Mr. Denny donated the land in 1883. And then E.F. Blaine continued to establish his reputation with open space park concept from 1902 to 1908. So, you know, these people never envisioned this for their open spaces.
Well, maybe their great-great-grandchildren can bring their concerns to the city and say, we'd like the name changed,
my God.
Please.
You have to understand what this place is. It's this gorgeous setting. This is the insanity of the left in this country. The insane LGBTQ hard left people, the activists. This is a beautiful place with a view of Mount Rainier and a lake right out in front of it, used for picnicking, sunbathing, and swimming. But since the 1970s, these wackos have turned this into Seattle's unofficial queer and trans-friendly clothing optional beach. They've ruined a beautiful park overlooking a lake with Mount Rainier in the background to allow freaks to go there and disturb other people.
Mm-hmm. And deter families from being able to use that area because they don't want to expose themselves or certainly not their children to that.
Wow. It would make you, if you were dumb enough to want to take your family there knowing that, it would make you want to take one of those high-powered squirt guns and maybe put some bleach or something in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Just to remind people that you can't do that around my kid.
Can you, I mean, can you imagine taking your kids there and not knowing this was a problem and you look up and that's what's happening?
I can't believe
it. Like I said, it was like, if you look at the video of this that I saw from this news station, it's broad daylight, out in the open, not even trying remotely to hide it whatsoever.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention this morning. That is not something that ever would have, that I ever would have envisioned.
It's a sad world.
Another reason I'd never live on the left coast in this country. I honestly, there are places in this country that are no-go zones for common sense.
But would you argue
large
that...
Large parts of them.
But parts of St. Louis City... I love St. Louis City. I'm from this area. This is my hometown. But like, there are parts of St. Louis City that are like that. Not all parts. There are really incredible parts of the city.
Well, there are weird parts. About that. I don't know that there are any clothing optional public
parts. No, not like that. But there's disgusting areas where they just don't. Yeah. It's almost like they realize they can't keep up with it and they don't even try. Like parts of North City are just.
But at least in the defense of the city, it is surrounded by the state of Missouri, which is red, and common sense rules. Mm-hmm. And you don't. You can only carry that crap so far. In Seattle, they're all like that. The state government's like that. The local government's like that. So insanity just reigns there. But think about that. In California, there are places where Republicans actually have a majority in parts of California. But overall, they're overwhelmingly outnumbered. Washington, Oregon, I don't know what it is. It's attracted these wing nuts and tree huggers and crazy people to the left coast in this country, but it's true. Mm-hmm. On the East Coast, New York has some gorgeous areas in upstate New York, but it's all ruled by an insane clown posse.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Could you imagine? I couldn't move to New York State because I couldn't take my guns with me.
Mm-hmm.
I would never consider moving there. They called me up and offered me $1 million a year. I wouldn't move there. It's crazy. I don't know how we've gotten to this point.
There's a lot of states
country.
I would not move to just because I couldn't take the policies.
They just take your freedom away.
Yeah.
Is what they do.
I mean, look at Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. In fact, for my headlines, I was just talking about how he was in New Hampshire over the weekend and he was making some comment about how it's time to, you know, really push back and we need mass protests against Republican policies. Now, this is a guy who we all think is probably going to try to run for president.
Well, of course, why else should he be in New
Hampshire? Using language like that. However, I'm like, come on. Like, it's so funny when you sit here and you want to accuse conservatives of violence and all these things. And it's like, no, truly, some of these wackadoodle lefties like J.B. Pritzker are actually calling for violence. To me, I take that almost as violence. They're saying mass protest. But to me, when the left talks about a protest like that, an organized one, they mean violence in the streets because somehow it always ends up like that.
J.B. Pritzker will never be president of the United States.
No, he won't.
I don't believe Americans would do that. Only in an insane blue state could that happen. There's just no way he would win the swing states or any of that stuff because he's an oligarch. He's a rich guy. How could Democrats ever vote for somebody like J.B. Pritzker, who ripped all the toilets out of the mansion he was working on in Chicago so he could temporarily not have to pay as much in property tax on it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's your man. He's working for the little guy there, or sitting on him, one of the two. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Chief Chris DiGiuseppe from Lake St. Louis. We'll be back in just a minute. If-